You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Tim Hortons in Michigan.
So is that Tim Hortons you're drinking?
It is. That's Tim Hortons. I'm staying with Pastor Harrison and his lovely wife, and they have an awesome guest suite in their basement. They have a little apartment down there, and I went down, and to my joy and my thrill, there at the Keurig machine was a box of 24 Tim Hortons pucks. There are three left. I've been here 2 days. And it's been a wonderful time just indulging in the good things of the Lord. So, yes, it is Tim Hortons. And in Michigan, they have Tim Hortons. So it's all good. Life's good. I'm loving it. We're out here in the country, Scotts, Michigan. It's a beautiful day. The wind is howling. You can hear the fireplace next to me a little bit rattle once in a while. That is not Brother Harrison. There he is right there. That's not Brother Harrison. He is not the Tin Man. He's not the Tin Man, though. He could be one of the people in The Wizard of Oz. I'm not going to mention which of those people he might be, but there was a large group of them that were green.
So, we welcome you.
let's just say that Brother Wolven has found a new best friend. Well, Brother Wolven, I'm going to recap just quickly that Brother Harrison had a lady in the church that was doing their books. She embezzled $45,000 from the church. She was caught because she wasn't paying the tax bill to the IRS. And apparently, maybe you could tell us again, I think some missionaries said that they had not gotten their support check. They were asked and said, no, we didn't get it. And so that kind of opened the door to an investigation of where the money was going, and found that they had a lady in the church that had embezzled that money, and the bank had seized their accounts because something wasn't right, and they were able to restore this family back into the church after they had disciplined them, and they made recompense to the church, paid the money back, and we kind of pick up there today. Brother Wolven, you get first question today for Brother Tom Harrison.
Brother Tom, you were certainly not a novice when that when this happened. Why is it that you think that Christians just can't forgive?
I guess because we're carnal. You know, if we have the Spirit of God living in us, then we ought to be spiritual. And obviously, we do things that grieve the Spirit of God. And I think we justify the fact that we've been done wrong to. They've done wrong to me, so, you know, they need to pay. And I think part of unforgiveness is our concept of making somebody pay for the wrong they've done to us. I guess that would be my thought from the top of my head.
Brother Dan, let me read you, and our listeners, let me read you a portion of a letter that this couple wrote to the church. Brother Tom, how long after this happened did they write this letter?
Oh, probably a year.
Okay. So a year later, this is what this gentleman writes. I thought I was going to lose my children, my wife, and my house, and everything that we had. I wanted to withdraw from everything. My preacher wouldn't let me. He taught me a valuable lesson on being responsible, and he taught me the best thing that I could do at the time was to be consistent and to be in church. He continued to pray for us, talk to us, and make sure that we knew that he loved us. I will be honest, I questioned it at first, but I realized soon that he cared more for us than the money that was just stolen from him in the church. He worked with us weekly to strengthen our marriage and restore trust in each other. What an awesome testimony. Pastor,
amen.
Thank you for being a pastor. Thank you for caring for your people. I have to be honest, Brother Wolven, you might say different, but at first, and maybe you did, I would want to have taken as much flesh from them as I possibly could. And then to go through all that you did and losing that number of people, you paid a real price for really just being a Christian and doing what Christians are supposed to do. So I'd like to say thank you to you for a great example. I'd like to commend you on being a pastor, and that's what pastoring is all about. But let me ask you this. Was there a time when you wondered if you had done the right thing?
I don't want to sound super spiritual here, but no, I felt from day one, I called two pastors that are good friends, they're wise, godly men. And one of the pastors, I won't mention his name, but I called him because he had also gone through an embezzlement. And he gave me some wise counsel. He said, don't do the same thing I did. He said, I hired the person back and they embezzled the second time.
Oh, my.
So I learned from that.
Oh, my.
But I must confess that I was angry. And probably more angry at myself because I allowed it to happen. I wasn't on top of things. And I was frustrated with the couple. And again, to this day, I have no idea. We have a casino that's open by us. I thought maybe that was it. I thought maybe drugs. They did not have a nice house. They did not have a nice car. They do not have nice clothes. And none of that changed. So I have no idea where the money went. And so that frustrated me. I thought, okay, you've taken this money. Where's it at? And I really don't believe that they're being dishonest with me. I just don't think they know where it went. Or where she didn't know. He didn't know anything about it. But I really think the anger that I had was more directed at me. I was frustrated that she did it. I was frustrated that we didn't follow some of our protocols that allowed it to happen. But again, as a pastor, that's my fault. Nobody else gets the blame at that point. I did not oversee things well, and that's where I was frustrated. And the first week, I thought about resigning. I thought, if I do that, number one, people are going to wonder if I am involved in it. And number two, I felt that this is the time mm-hmm. that the church needed leadership. They didn't need me to bail on them.
Amen.
And for them to just fight through this thing on their own. So I decided not to resign and to stick it out. But again, my frustration was towards me, I think, more than anybody else. I don't like to disappoint. I don't like to fail. And I had done both of those miserably. And it really, I guess I would say, it really hit my male ego and pride. That's it, through the whole thing, this is what I tell you, the biggest thing I fought with was pride. That, hey, I've been here, 25 years or whatever, and I've got a great record, and things are going well, and the church is growing, and all these things are happening, and now this happens. And it was pride all the way through and through for me, and God really had to deal with me about my pride.
Brother Harrison, as you're thinking back, can you sort of elaborate a little bit on the, if there even was a struggle of contacting the authorities or not?
There wasn't for me. I contacted a couple of pastors who had gone through it, and the one pastor is the one who put me in contact with a godly Christian at the FBI. And I worked through things with them, and with their counsel, and I have a Christian lawyer that I've used for years, and I went to him and I said, listen, this is my plan. This is what I'm thinking about doing. Do you see any problem with it? And he tweaked it a little bit, but he thought it was a good plan. So I had the FBI and I had a Christian lawyer behind me. And so everything that I did, I ran through them to make certain. Because one lady, a good lady in our church, asked a question, well, they have to be turned in because they have to pay taxes on it. And I said, that's a good question. But I said, I've already asked our council about that. And they said, you can treat it as a loan. If they're paying it back, it's a loan. They don't have to pay taxes on it. So every move I believe that I made, I checked with the Christian lawyer to make certain that I wasn't, getting in more trouble legally. And so I never felt that I was going in the wrong direction. I felt many times that I was swimming upstream, going against a lot of folks, and like I say, we lost a lot of people over this thing. But I don't think I'd tell you I ever questioned.
Brother Harrison, not only had this happened, but just a matter of weeks later, he found out that his son Todd had cancer. And so while he's going through this, while Mr. and Mrs. Harrison are going through this, they get the news that their son has cancer and he's very sick. And so now he's torn between helping his son and helping a crippled church. Tell us a little bit about that when you got that news and how that all tied into how you were dealing with this as well.
Okay. It was on a Sunday night. We got a phone call from my daughter-in-law. My son is a pastor in Illinois. And she said, Todd collapsed in the pulpit today. And that was, I guess it was before Sunday night. And I said, well, I'll preach here Sunday night, then we'll drive down. And we got there about midnight. We got in to see him. And we knew there was something wrong because he's built much like me. And he was very, very skinny, probably down to 120 pounds or so. And so we stayed there the night. The next morning they did a surgical procedure, and the doctor came out and just shaking his head, literally tears in his eyes, and said, there's nothing we can do for your son. He has cancer growth. It's about the size of a grapefruit, and it is connected to three of his major organs, and he said, there's nothing we can do. And that was a shock. We weren't expecting that by any stretch of the imagination. And by God's grace, he worked things out, and we were able to fly him down to Nashville, to Vanderbilt Hospital. And that in itself is a miraculous story. It was $200,000 to fly him in a special plane. And I signed a paper, said, hey, I'll pay it. They found out he was a pastor, and they did it free.
Wow.
He was down there, and he was there for about 3 weeks because he was so weak. They had to build him up. He was weak enough that he couldn't walk. I had to help him walk. I think by the time he had surgery, he was down to about 110 pounds, I think it was. And the doctor told us that the best-case scenario, we can buy him some time. And that's what we were expecting. So that was a long day for that surgery, and the doctor came out. He had a smile on his face, and we didn't quite understand that. And he said, I don't know what to tell you, but he said the cancer was contained. It was not attached to any of the organs. We took it out. He's not going to have chemo. He's not going to have radiation. Nothing. Well, obviously, that was a relief, but the problem was is that our church was going through this, and so, but obviously, I want to be with my son. So we made the choice to step away from the church for almost a month and to be down in Tennessee with our son as he went through this. But again, our church and my assistant pastor did a phenomenal job covering all the bases and I believe God used that to gel our church back together again.
So what is his prognosis now?
Well, unfortunately, just about a year ago, the cancer came back, and they had that. It was in his pancreas, and as you know, pancreatic cancer is pretty serious. But again, God intervened, and they were able to take out part of his pancreas.
Amen.
And some of his small intestine this time. The other one was his large intestine. And he's back 100%. He's pastoring. They've just bought a new church building, and they're building it up, and God has blessed their ministry. And
amen.
So God is great.
I'll be with Brother Todd
amen.
Next week, and from all that I've seen and talking to him, he's doing well, great spirits. He has an incredible family, awesome wife. His wife Rachel is a super good girl, and she's been through this. So now you have a mom who is sitting in the room with us crying, who's gone through a major trauma of a church split, you know, accusations against her husband. Her son is now really, they're thinking in their minds, going to die of cancer. And your wife is still here with you and still in the ministry. And maybe we'll try to on Friday get her in to say a little bit. But from your vantage point, How did you guys keep that all together? What did your church do for you to help you through this? We know, obviously, the Holy Spirit. We know it's the strength of the Lord. But you had mentioned that your church had done some things as well.
First of all, they said, hey, you go. They gave us money. I had one, I guess maybe two couples, while we're there, they called and they said, listen, what do you need? We'll send you money. We'll do anything you want. They prayed for us. Pastor John, my assistant, just did an excellent job of being, number one, loyal to me. I mean, very honestly, that'd be a prime time for an assistant to make a move. And he didn't. He did everything biblically correct and called me every day and informed me of anything and everything that was going on. Met with the deacons on a regular basis to inform them what I was passing on to him. And the church were, I mean, constantly were getting notes and letters and cards and money saying they're praying for us and they're standing beside us. And so they were just, you couldn't have asked for those people to do anything more for us than what they did. Looking back on it, I can't think of one thing that we needed that they didn't offer to meet our needs.
Brother Harrison, how's the church doing now? Obviously, all of us are limping a little bit because of COVID, but where are you basically at now? I know you're getting ready to have Brother Stone preach, so that'll be a downer. But other than that,
oh man, that's the
how's the church?
This
doing?
Is the high point of the year. These folks have never been so energized and never, never so excited in their lives. We had our first meeting last night. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, the outpouring was unbelievable, and we probably won't have anybody there tonight. But we're going to give it a good go. So, how is the church doing now?
Again, I said earlier in another podcast that financially, we are better off than we've ever been before. We've made probably $300,000-$400,000 worth of improvements with cash. We're debt free. Our missions program has gone up from about $50,000 to probably we're $150,000-$160,000 a year now.
Amen.
I had one assistant at that time. I have two assistants now. We have money in the bank, and we have never had money in the bank before. And again, I'm bragging about what God has done, obviously.
Yes,
because
amen.
All that has been done with 100 less people. Now, we were running just a little over 200 at that point, maybe 225 or so, and we got down to right around 100. And we built back up, and we were running about 170, 180, then COVID hit, and now we're back down to about 120 or 130. But even with that, our finances are doing fantastic. The spirit is great. We had 2 weeks ago, Sunday, we had a teenager baptized, and her mom joined the church. And we had
Amen.
A couple during COVID saved during that time. And they, when they could, they came to the church. They got baptized and joined the church, and they're faithful to the church. We had a lady saved this week out soul winning. It's a slow process. COVID has really limited our soul winning, to be honest with you. You know, a lot of people are very cautious to open a door, but we're still doing it. Lord willing, we're going to start our buses in about 3 weeks, we're asking God to bless that. But the thing I guess I would emphasize is the spirit of our church. Our people have got a great spirit. They have a mind to work, you know, our numbers are not what I would like them to be, but boy, I want to tell you, who I have are fantastic, and it's my privilege to be a co-laborer with them.
I will tell
Amen.
You, I will tell you that from the meeting last night that we had, there is a great camaraderie amongst these folks. There is an excitement in the air of the church, and I believe that they have not only mended, but have become much stronger because of this. And I think they saw the Lord do two very miraculous things, and that, you know, Brother Harrison's, Mrs. Harrison's son is alive and well, and the church is alive and well. And because I believe these folks were faithful, they did what the Bible said to do. They had the mind of Christ, and I think the church caught that, and that's brought them through. So incredible. Well, we'll wrap it up for today, and on Friday, I'm gonna get Trish Harrison to talk to us a little bit and tell us from a ladies' viewpoint. We have a lot of ladies who listen to this podcast, and anytime our wives are on, Brother Wolven, you know, we get a lot of comments from a lot of ladies how much they enjoy that. So we're gonna do a little bit of that and ask her some questions. and we'll do that on Friday's podcast. So please don't miss that. I think that'll be a great vantage point. A lot of times we talk to preachers and, you know, we weather through the thing and we man up on that. But it's hard for a wife who hears those things about a husband and watches him grieve and sometimes has no recourse. He can't get up and tell the whole story sometimes, and he can't say what he wants to. So that makes it tough. So with me is my new found friend and pastor of a great church with us.
Thank you much. It's my privilege. Have a great day.
That's the voice of Tom Harrison of the Prairie Baptist Church in Scotts, Michigan. And also on the other side of the mic,
this is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. And again, please give us a rating, a review. Make sure that you subscribe. This has been a great blessing today.
Amen. This is Tim Talks. We hope you have a great day, and we hope today that you'll pray for your pastor. Pray for those who handle the finances of your church, that God would keep them honest and true, and that those things would never happen. It's a hard thing. This is Tim Talks. You have a great day. We'll be back Friday. Be sure to be with us. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.